From the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building in Detroit's News Center, this is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and IBEW Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Now, here's your host, John McCullough.
Tonight, we'll learn more about the Interstate Travel High Rail Project. We've heard about several of the proposed light rail systems for our region on previous shows, and tonight we'll learn about a rail system that moves both passengers and freight using hydrogen power at high speed. We'll meet Justin Sutton, founder and inventor of the Interstate Traveler High Rail, talk with State Representative Bill Rogers, chairman of the Interstate Traveler High Rail Task Force, and check in with State Representative Harold Haw, member of the Transportation Committee, who is currently reviewing the project. Plus, we'll check with the Macomb County Green Committee and learn something about their upcoming All Things Green event planned for later in the month. Stay tuned to WJR's Powering Michigan's Future, only on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and IBEW Local 58. Once again, here's John McCullough.
And on tonight's program, we're going to learn about Powering Michigan's Future and the Interstate Travel, get this out right, the Interstate Traveler High Rail System from the inventor and founder of the project, Justin Sutton of Whitmore Lake. Justin, good to see you.
Good to see you too, sir. Thank you for having us in.
Well, with something this fantastic, you have to. We've got to investigate it because it looks, well, why don't you tell us about it and then the audience will see just how fantastic it really is.
Sure, my pleasure. Well, the Interstate Traveler Company was formed to bring into the commercial market a new form of public infrastructure. It's a public infrastructure network that looks just like a high-speed rail network, an elevated high-speed rail network. But our system's unique. It is a mass-produced stainless steel rail system that we built in Detroit factories. And embedded in it is municipal conduit for water, for sewer, for electricity, and fiber optics for communications. And the whole thing is covered with solar panels. So wherever we build and set this thing up, it makes about a megawatt of electricity per hour per mile of rail. So if we have 1,000 miles of this rail in Michigan, it'll be like having a 1,000 megawatt power plant, and it's all green all the time.
Now, this is different from any high rail that I've ever seen. I've seen your pictures and depictions of what it's going to look like. But what I see is the real difference is that maybe people will want to get on this one.
Yes, yeah.
What's the plan? How are you going to do that?
Sure. Well, we call the company the Interstate Traveler Company because the system is designed to travel down the interstate highway network. And we all are travelers coming from one place to another. And the interstate highway network is the vital arteries of transportation. So imagine when you're driving down the highway, where the fence lines are, there will be an elevated rail system following the highways. And where the clover leaves are, where we get on and off the highway, some of those clover leaves are very large. Sometimes they're 5 acres or even bigger. And we plan on building two traveler stations at every single interchange along the interstate highway network. So that gives us direct access to the entire community as we go. And then the vehicles that ride it are on demand. So it's not like a train where it goes back and forth. We can have any number of vehicles of any shape and size coming and going at any time through this rail network. So you can have private ownership, commercial ownership, or state ownership of these transit vehicles. And the traveler stations give everybody direct access. We don't skip past communities. The object is to serve as many people as possible.
So any communities that the interstate now bypasses, you will bypass, but any community that is served by the interstate, you'll serve.
Yes, and what's more is that our system is modular. At any point in place, we can take out a section of rail and put in a switch in just a matter of hours, and then reconnect a whole new sub-network of this rail system and connect more roadways together.
Okay, in a perfect world, the whole thing is set up now. I'm going to wave a magic wand, and
yes,
what you foresee for your company and for the state of Michigan and for really the rest of the world is what? Describe it to me. I'm coming out of my house now, and
okay,
I'm headed off to Columbus, Ohio.
Well, the first step is you want to dial 211 on your telephone. You dial 211, and we already see the United Way using this for public services. There is already a large movement to use it for the dial-a-ride service. So our system would help fund that type of a service. So you don't necessarily need to own a car if you need to go a long distance, or if you can't drive a car because you don't qualify for a driver's license or don't have car insurance. You just dial 211, and a car will come pick you up, and that car will take you to one of the traveler stations. You go into the traveler station, you get onto one of these maglev vehicles, and you ride it at 200 miles an hour to the next city. And when you get there, that same dial 211 service will get you a ride to wherever it is you need to go. Or you could actually drive your car into one of these vehicles, because the system's large. It's about twice the size of the people mover in width, so it's very, very big. So we actually be able to drive your automobile with you, your family, your kids, your groceries, and ride in privacy in one of these things with your car and get to another city and drive around in your car and then ride the whole thing back.
Now, when I get to that city, do I get onto a conventional road then with my car?
Yes.
Okay, and so yeah. so that stays pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And, for example, Interstate 71 goes right smack through the middle of Columbus, Ohio.
Correct.
So I would have access. You're going to have a station at each one of those little. Some of those exits are only 3/4 mile apart.
Yes, yeah. And that's one of the great things about it is our system allows to have as many stops as you want because of something called a sidetrack and a minor loop, which is a store and forward buffer for vehicles. So we don't have the same problems that trains do where you got a long train that stops and blocks the whole track. We never have any blockage on the track. There's always a main line that's unobstructed. So you could take an express vehicle all the way down to Florida and not have to worry about stopping along the way. Or you could stop at every single stop along the way if you'd like.
Well, at 200 miles an hour, if I'm doing my math correctly and counting for stops and perhaps a turnaround here and there or mm-hmm. whatever, Florida's 6 hours away now.
Probably, yes. Yeah, it'd be about 4 times faster than driving on average. So if it takes 4 hours to get to Chicago driving on a good day, it'd only take you about an hour with our system.
Okay, here comes the interesting part, I think, for everybody. How are we going to power this thing?
Well, it is the interesting part. This entire system is powered by the sun. As the sun rises in the east to open and warm our day, so does the sun heat up our rail system and power our solar panels so that this system will run 24 hours a day with the solar energy we collect during the day. So it's all green all of the time.
Okay. I've heard jokes made about, you know, solar panels are never going to fly a plane. Mm-hmm. I've heard the same thing said about high-speed travel.
Mm-hmm.
Help me here, because
sure.
I don't see what... You're going to produce enough electricity with these solar panels to
Absolutely.
Shoot this thing along at 200 miles an hour.
Absolutely. It's on a mathematical thing, and I don't want to get it too deep into math here, but...
You'll lose me anyway.
Yeah, and I don't want to lose any of the listeners either. The object here is that it collects solar energy off of the rail system, and a mile of rail supports about 85,000 square feet of solar panels, or about 2 acres of solar panels for every mile of rail. So we actually have a very large solar grid laminated onto this thing. And even with the worst solar panels money can buy, the lowest performing solar panels that are available in the commercial market today, it's still almost triple the power that we need to operate our system. So when we finally go into production, we'll probably have 5 times the power necessary to operate.
So is that power just going to go into thin air, or is it going to be used by somebody?
We will use it to make hydrogen. And it's one of the reasons we call it the hydrogen superhighway. Because this municipal conduit system that's embedded in the rail, we have extra pipelines for distributing water, sewer, electricity, and all of those things. But also, we will produce and distribute hydrogen in a direct pipeline to every single gas station along the interstate highway network.
Is that safe?
Oh, yeah, it's safe. Actually, hydrogen is safer than fossil fuels or gasoline. Reason being is something called specific gravity. Hydrogen is the lightest element known to man. And if it leaks, it goes vertical very, very quickly because of the hydrostatic pressure of the air around it. If you spill gasoline or natural gas, it's heavy and it'll accumulate on the ground and ignite and cause a fireball. Hydrogen will never have that problem.
We're talking with Justin Sutton. This is his baby. This is his project here on Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. We're talking about the Interstate Traveler High Rail System. Now, if you think this is a pipe dream of some kind and this guy is just blowing smoke, you've been working on this thing for a long time, haven't you, Justin?
Yes. I started development of it March 19th, 1995, in a business plan format. I knew it would take me 5 years to build a team. And by 2002, I published a 72-page business plan with the Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. And by 2003, we had the unanimous endorsement of the House and Senate of the state of Michigan, also the AFL-CIO, Michigan chapter, unanimous endorsement, and the Greater Detroit Construction and Building Trades Council endorsed it, as well as the United Steelworkers of America endorsed it. So we've been working internationally for many years, and it's not just me. I have a company that now has over 200 contracted partners, and we've raised and spent a modest about $3 million to do all of our work.
Now, what's your first goal as far as a physical work? Where are we going to see this thing come first?
Well, my goal has always been to have this be a Detroit-based company and a Detroit-based resource and have all the world look at Detroit and see that this is what the automotive center of the world produced, because it is a motive system. It's automatic, and it's sort of like an automobile, even though it doesn't necessarily have wheels. And we have all the production assets here. We've got all the talent. And most of our leaders in our company have come out of Ford, GM, and Chrysler. These are some of the best that Detroit has ever produced. And we have clients all over the world that are waiting to get this stuff. They want to buy hundreds and hundreds of kilometers of this rail, and all the tooling to manufacture it will be built here and exported out of the country.
Sounds great. Why hasn't it happened sooner? Why isn't it up and running now?
Well, there's a number of factors. In 2003, we went into war. That changed a lot of things. We also got a change in administration in the state of Michigan and a lot of new legislators. So we went right back into the education curve, trying to get the executive branch and the legislators to understand what it is that was why the House and Senate unanimously endorsed this in 2003. And a lot of people were afraid. They didn't know what hydrogen was. They didn't think solar panels would work. You know, but we've provided a lot of testimony. And last year, there was a bipartisan task force created in the House and Senate, led by State Representative Bill Rogers, District 66. And the fourth task force hearing was held at Detroit's Fox Theater, beautiful Fox Theater. And at all of those four public hearings, we took testimony from university professors, from scientists, from engineers, from, you know, people off the street, people that know and understand what this means, and we have support all over the world ready to go, and we just need to help our executive branch up in Lansing understand the values of this public-private partnership, because number one, we don't want any money.
Amazes me about this. This is all done with private money.
Correct.
You're not looking for a public subsidy of any kind.
Exactly.
Now rail systems, and there isn't a city in this nation that has a metro system of any kind that makes money.
That's
How
true.
Is this going to be different?
Well, because we're a commercial organization with the intent to make a profit and pay taxes, and we don't need to have a grant from the government or any tax abatements or subsidies of any kind. We want to have the honor and privilege of creating a whole new industrial model that will pay taxes. And our business plan is to use a public-private partnership that will actually pay a per capita revenue share to every single community in the state. If you live in a township in the UP and you've got 1,000 people, you're going to get $25,000 a year off of the first 100 miles of our system down here. That's every township, every county, every city, every port authority, and every tribal land recognized by the census. We've already partnered with the census for this purpose. We will legally obligate this operating company to pay that revenue share. And then all of a sudden, 1,000 townships are going to get a bond rating they never had before. That's jobs coming.
This just really sounds wonderful. Let me ask you this. Where is the first operating system going to go? It's going to start here,
Yes. Obviously.
Where's
it
going to go?
The full-size system, we've been speaking with the folks at Severstal Steel, and it's our intent to partner with Severstal and put our first production facility at the old Roos Steel plant. The steel comes out of the rolling mill there at 35 miles an hour, and that's fast. We expect to produce about 200 sections of rail a day out of that facility.
Okay, but I want to know where the first one I can climb on and ride out of Detroit. Where's it going to go?
Well, there's a couple of places we're looking at, and it's actually in Auburn Hills right now. There's one of our production partners that's got a good piece of land, and they've got the facilities there to hand build.
Okay, is it going to go to Ann Arbor? Is it going to go to Monroe? Where's it going to go?
Well, the first hand-built system would be just on private property. The actual commercial system, that would require us to put the factory up at the Roos Steel plant and produce that rail. It would go down I-94.
Okay.
Yes.
So it would go down I-94. How many jobs, you think? Long-term, short-term, quickly?
It's about 3,800 permanent jobs on the Detroit to Ann Arbor system just for operations, and then thousands more in production.
3,000?
Yeah. We plan 84 traveler stations along the Detroit to Ann Arbor route. It's about 90 kilometers of rail in total. There are 42 highway interchanges that we will be including, and we build two traveler stations at every one. So that's 84 10,000 square foot buildings, like three-story buildings, that will all be built by Michigan skilled labor, the iron workers, steel workers, the electrical, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, everybody's going to be involved.
And Justin Sutton from Whitmore Lake.
Yes, sir.
This is your baby. It's your brainchild.
It well, as my CEO reminds me, success has many fathers. And when I talk about the Interstate Traveler Company, we are a partnership of over 200 contracted individuals and corporations that are here to make this happen. Yeah, it's my baby, but it's more than I can handle. It requires a large organization to bring this to fruition, and we have that large organization now.
It sounds as though this is going to happen. It sounds as though, for the first time, I have actual confidence in something that I would actually get on and ride and be able to go somewhere.
Yes.
It's incredible.
And we're not talking around the block. We're talking interstate travel. We're talking about going from city to city, from state to state, from country to country, literally bridging the gap of time and distance so that instead of having to live 17 miles from work, you can live 170 miles from work and still get to work reliably, no matter what the weather conditions are.
And still have time to work the New York Times crossword puzzle.
You know it, my friend.
If you decided to do that.
You could enjoy that very much so. And internationally, we just received the photographs from the trade delegation that's in Dubai right now, meeting with the royal family. We've done work in several dozen countries. Our first trade delegation to China was in 2004.
The couple of things I want to ask you real quickly before we're done, safety issues. Now,
yes.
We know how the carnage that goes on our highways now.
Yes.
Are we going to have that kind of problem with the system?
Oh, that's a very important point. This will be the safest transportation system ever built for a number of reasons. It is a rail-bound system, and it's not on wheels. It's on slotted linear motors that wrap around the rail and cannot come off. So we don't have a problem of derailments. And the system uses a form of dead reckoning that we know every inch of the rail system basically has a number. So we know where every vehicle is, and every vehicle has redundant sensors on it so that if a tornado picks up something and drops it on the track, we won't run into it. And also, just recently I saw that there was YouTube footage of a train that got derailed because of a tornado. So we don't have to worry about derailments. In high-speed trains, these steel-wheeled things, well, they've got some of the worst killing records of all. But our highways alone, in the United States, over 100 people a day are killed in automotive accidents just on the interstate highway network. And we know that we will be able to cut that number in half in the next 10 years.
And I believe I saw in your literature also that due to the size of this thing, you could actually put about anything you wanted in this thing. For example, a traveling salesman could have his whole office go with him.
Yes,
and, sir. And then not have to have an office. And tell me about this one with the delivery of medical care.
Yes, yes.
Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, thank God for the people that put on, you know, the patch and they go out as paramedics to go, you know, pick our broken bodies out of cars. Everybody listening probably knows somebody who's been in a car accident. So the rail system will enable us to put a larger ambulance that will actually have a team of 8. We'll have critical care surgeons, blood chemistry, and medical imaging all on board, and they can travel on this rail at 200 miles an hour and get to the scene of the accident. So that within that golden hour, those people that died on the way to the hospital, well, those people will be saved. And we figure that at least half of those people will be saved in this system. But on the more exciting side, for entertainment purposes, think also about the movement of sports teams. There was a movie done about a plane crash that took out a whole football team.
Marshall University football team.
Yes, sir. Well, with this rail system, we'll be able to move very large groups of people in absolute safety and high rate of speed. And all of our professional and college sports teams, they'll be able to get around the country without any problems, not even dealing with airports and all the nonsense associated with air flight. And let's face it, airplanes are fun. I love to fly, but landing is always a problem. And we don't have that problem.
I had a pilot tell me one time, a commercial pilot, he said, John, any landing you walk away from is a good landing. And that kind of changed my whole view of air travel. Okay, now the stickler, to me anyway, timeline. When can we expect to be able to get on this thing, and not, certainly not in my lifetime, and go to California in a very fast way?
Sure.
When can we expect this to start?
Well, if everything goes right with the Michigan legislature and we get our public-private partnership signed, again, at no cost to the taxpayer, no cost to the state, we are obligating that we pay for taxes. We figure it'll be within a year that we will have our production facility ready for operations. And at the production rate of about 2 miles a day, in 100 days, that's 200 miles of rail in that production scenario.
And you got jobs on the outside of just not just the production, but now you got the guys to put it up.
Yes,
and
yes.
To make sure it's up and running properly.
Yes.
But you say the first step is the legislature.
Yes.
Okay.
That's true. But we're also working all around the world, and we have some pending orders. There's actually a $3 billion deal in Indonesia right now where we have to build the tools and actually export them out of here. So we actually might start building and exporting this rail to foreign countries long before we have the privilege of building it here where everybody started this thing.
Well, Justin Sutton, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
It's an incredible project, and I'm happy to see that it's gone as far as it's gone already. And it's exciting. And
yes.
I want you to continue to keep us informed on this.
Thank you. Will do. Thank you for having us in, and I look forward to giving you an update very soon.
Well, we'll be glad to hear it at any time. And let's find out, by the way, speaking of the legislature, just what's going on at the legislature with State Representative Bill Rogers. And that's coming up next here on Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, John McCullough.
And tonight, we are discussing the Interstate Traveler Highway Rail or High Rail Project. And we're going to find out if it's going to become a reality, hopefully. We'll be able to find that out tonight. And part of the equation here is the Michigan State Legislature. We welcome State Representative Bill Rogers, who led the Michigan House of Representatives Interstate Traveler Task Force. So how did you get involved with this task force in the first place? What was your interest?
Actually, what transpired is I met kind of the founder of the company some 8 to 10 years ago. A friend introduced me when I was the chairman of the Livingston County Board of Commissioners and said, I think you need to meet this person and possibly he can help the county and the state. And so they set up a meeting, and when I took a peek at the system, it just it reminded me of Disneyland, and quite frankly, I'm fond of Disneyland. And with the mass transit system, he talked about jobs, he talked about the environment, solar power, mass transit, all of the above, and it truly did pique my interest.
Well, it's certainly piqued ours here at WJR. How did you go about with the task force vetting the project?
What we did is we had four task force hearings throughout the state because we wanted input in the different quadrants, north, south, east, west. We broke out the task force into safety, finance, environmental, and ridership in each of those quadrants and asked folks from all over the state and the area to testify. We actually had people from out of the state fly in just to testify and see what this whole program was all about.
Well, what was the recommendation then of the House and Senate Transportation Committees out of your task force efforts?
Actually, that is the next stage in this. What we have done is we released our report in January with the recommendation that it go on to the transportation subcommittees of both the House and the Senate to go to that next step. Because what these folks are really looking for is the use of the right-of-way in the Eisenhower system, or as us lay people know it, the expressways. And so that is really the component that the state is dealing with, or that the legislature, we feel, would need to deal with.
In about 10 seconds, can you see any roadblocks, not to pardon the pun?
Well, we're talking about an election year, and sometimes during election year, not enough gets accomplished. I did just have a meeting with Senator Judd Gilbert, who is the chair of transportation on the Senate side, and we are in the process of setting a date for testimony, so we did get it into the Senate for that vetting.
Well, it sounds like it's moving along, and I guess it's something like this does mean a lot to Michigan in terms of jobs and other things.
We felt it met all of the criteria when introduced that Michigan has been looking for and talking about. I mean, we've been talking about green energy and the windmills and the solar, the wind. We've been talking about mass transit forever. And here's an opportunity where we felt that it looked like they had all of those kind of attributes. And granted, we're extremely biased. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yeah, that's really the bottom line is that. Representative.
Well, I have to say one other thing, though. And the biggest component that we still have to vet further, though, privately funded. This does not have any money from the state. I told them, unfortunately, our pocketbooks are a little bit shallow. And so to go forward, it would have to be privately funded, and that's the premise that we're going on.
Okay. Thank you so much, Representative Bill Rogers, for our look inside the legislature. We'll take another look inside the legislature with Representative Harold Haw coming up next on Powering Michigan's Future here on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, John McCullough.
And we are learning all about Michigan's new Interstate Traveler High Rail Project. And there is so much information to cover that it is absolutely impossible for us to cover it all tonight. I want to give you a couple websites you can go to get information. You don't need that. It's on the World Wide Web at interstatetraveler.us or HydrogenSuperhighway.com. That's interstatetraveler.us, HydrogenSuperhighway.com. Either site will get you a look at this thing, and believe me, it's worth the trip. Joining us now is State Representative Harold Haw. He's a member of the House Transportation Committee. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, John, and thank you for having me on your program.
I understand the Transportation Committee just received this Interstate Traveler High Rail Task Force recommendation. And you've had a chance to look at it. What's your impression?
Well, John, I'm very impressed with the report. It's an opportunity to single-handedly change Michigan's future by providing thousands of temporary and permanent jobs, both at the federal, state, and local levels. It also could add millions of dollars to tax bases to our local government communities. Now, I do have concerns in reading the task force proposal, and I want to congratulate my colleague Bill Rogers with the bipartisan initiative that undertook looking at this issue. And one of the complexities with it is the assurance that, in fact, this will be self-funded. And the task force has recommended if it's private investment, we need to move this thing along pretty quickly. If it's requiring state matching dollars, well, obviously we got an issue with that with the Michigan economy.
Yeah, but I don't think, having talked to Justin, who is the inventor of this thing, it's his brainchild, he says that he's not going to take a nickel.
Yep, that's correct, and that's quoted in the task force report, but the justification for the expenditure, and I believe I read it was $10 billion per mile, needs to be further defined by Justin and the group.
Okay, so what is the next step? What's going to carry us closer?
The next step is this report gets presented into the Transportation Committee. We hold public hearings on it again. and the dialogue gets to be reviewed, and this is where Justin needs to come in with his funding mechanism so the members of transportation feel confident that it can be self-funded. I'm not disputing that it can or can't be. I'm saying there needs to be a better comfort zone here.
Well, we hope that you find it, because from what I've seen, this actually looks like something that might work as far as mass transit and actually be self-supporting and actually benefit the communities that it goes through.
John, I agree with that 100%. We probably got about anywhere between 40 and 50 proposals on mass transit for Michigan, all of which they claim are the panacea to solving the problem for transportation. That's the mechanism that we use to sort through this. And I congratulate the preparers of this report, and I think this is an opportunity to move Michigan forward.
Well, we agree, and we appreciate your being with us this evening here on the program, and we'll talk again.
Well, thank you, John. I'm at your disposal on this subject or any other subject.
Great. I'll keep that in mind. Representative Harold Haugh, member of the House Transportation Committee. How's this going to affect the IBEW and other unions? We'll talk about that next on Powering Michigan's Future here on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR with your host, John McCullough.
And we're talking about the Interstate Traveler High Rail System, and we have with us Dave Austin, president of the IBEW Local 58, and Dan Tripp, executive vice president of the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan. And Dan, what would a project of this magnitude mean to your contractors and to our region?
Well, the proposed project itself is certainly a significant job, which would provide an awful lot of opportunity for the contractors that I represent. But I think beyond that is that if this project does take place and demonstrates the value that this adds to the interstate highway system, and this system begins to grow, what it adds to our economic base here in Detroit is just absolutely enormous. I mean, it's on an equivalency with the automobile industry itself.
It's almost like reinventing the automobile industry.
It's an update of the transportation system, modernizing it in a way that makes dual use of the time and energy that's been put into the interstate system, and adds to it a new component at a cost factor of zero to the public, and actually provides economic benefit, which would expand the industrial base here in Detroit, I think almost on the order of the magnitude that the automobile industry itself did.
Dave, we've seen a lot of proposals for rail systems over the past few months. What does a project like this mean for your members at the IBEW?
Simple, John. It's jobs. It's all about jobs. Both representatives covered that in their time on the air. We're talking about jobs in manufacturing, in construction of the manufacturing facility, the manufacturing jobs themselves, construction of the system, maintenance of the system. Personally, I think it's time for the state of Michigan to pull the trigger on something. From the first time I saw this, I thought it was huge. If the funding is there, Representative Haugh's major question, is the funding there? If that answer is yes,
let's go.
By God, let's do it.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you,
John.
Before we leave you tonight, we'd like to spend a few minutes talking about the All Things Green event being put on by the Macomb County Chamber on March 31st. We welcome Grace Shore, CEO of the Macomb County Chamber of Commerce. Grace, welcome.
Thank you.
And Tim Story, chairman of the Macomb County Green Committee. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John.
Tell us about the All Things Green event.
The Macomb County Chamber held the first All Things Green event last year, and it was a tremendous success. We started the whole green movement in Macomb County because our business owners were asking for more information on how they can take their business green, both from an environmental and a business diversification standpoint.
Tim, what are we going to see at this year's event?
Well, John, the event is designed to be both a trade show and a conference, with vendors who are displaying green products and technologies, as well as a full day of educational seminars for businesses. We're pleased to have a number of excellent presentations, including one from Alt-E, an engineering and technology company, who's making an extended electric powertrain for the automotive industry, and Lakefront Capital, a financial services company who focuses on asset management. Lakefront will be discussing how their vision to bring together Ford Land, Clairvoyant Energy, and Extreme Power to use the idled Ford Wixom plant for a renewable energy research park is becoming a reality. We also have a track on renewable energy featuring Tom Stanton from the MPSC office, Michigan Public Service Commission.
And Grace, it looks like on the agenda you're going to have some success stories to tell.
Yes, we do have some success stories. We felt devoting some time to what's working and to sharing some best practices would make an impact for the attendees. So we'll have people like Ryan LaFontaine of LaFontaine Automotive Group and Jim Vibbert of Whitmore Lake High School and Doug Selby of Meadowlark Builders, because each of them has green initiatives in place that are making a real difference in their respective communities.
Tim?
We also have companies like Waste Management, who will be bringing together their proposed landfill gas-fired generation station online next year. They'll share that initiative with the audience as well.
And Grace, what else can people learn about the All Things Green Conference and Expo?
Well, the Engineering Society of Detroit will be giving a presentation on the green and blue economies and why they are important to Michigan's future. Don't forget, Macomb County is adjacent to the water.
It sure is. And Tim?
We'll also be discussing green and blue educational opportunities, too, with Macomb Community College, who has new programs in these areas. Our friends at IBEW and NECA will also be discussing some of their green jobs training.
And where do people go for registration information and all that good stuff?
We'll be pleased to accept your registration or interest in a vendor opportunity at the Chamber's website, which is www.macombcountychamber.com.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us tonight. Check out the All Things Green event on March 31st, being held at the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center, and that is in Warren. And I also want to mention the websites again to get more information on this hydrogen superhighway. This thing just looks fantastic. I have not been as excited as I've been this evening about any project like this ever. I've never seen anything like it, and I'd like you to do that for yourself. Maybe you'll get excited about it, too, and you'll understand what we're talking about. Just go to www.interstatetraveler.us or www.hydrogensuperhighway.com, and we will have those posted somewhere on our WJR website also. And MacombCountyChamber.com is the website for the All Things Green event. Thanks for joining us for Powering Michigan's Future tonight here on News Talk 760 WJR.